Party and Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, buddy.
Here we are, buddy.
Back together again.
Yeah. Last time I saw you was at a party.
That's right, in New York City.
Very hip party.
Oh. Yeah, we went to the Axe body spray deodorant party. I don't think they like being called deodorant.
And by the way, we should have been passing it around and using it at that party.
It was
about 800
sticky.
Degrees. Yeah. I noticed there's some in the bathroom. I thought to myself, should I just put this on? It's what we're meant to.
I could have used a little shot downstairs, if you know what I'm saying. It was getting gamey down there.
Yeah.
I thought like a millipede was going to crawl out of my underpants. It's like, it was really
terrarium. Well, I noticed you had a paper mache, you know, like it looked like a float from New Orleans.
No, I didn't talc. I wasn't able to talc up. Yeah, it was tough. Yeah, a lot of big and medium name celebrities over there.
I begged Mila Kunis, who was, I guess, the sort of media host, to get me on the Family Guy.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know she's Meg. From Meg from Family Guy, as well as from that 70s show, where she also plays Meg. No, I just thought I'd freak you out. I know Drew knows nothing, so I can say that. Jack Osborne was there, and Mekhi Phifer, Steve-O. With a smoking hot model chick, by the way. He's wearing no shirt. Got like bird droppings on his head.
Hey Drew, why is it that when you rub your balls while you're jerking off that it feels so much better?
Yeah, I'm back there now. I'm completely back in the moment.
Oh,
yeah.
I swear to God, it makes you just want to fall on a sword when you see Steve-O. Steve-O, nobody could use a shot of Axe more than Steve-O. Steve-O could actually use just an actual axe in his head. He would smell better. And he's with some smoking hot model. Not quite sure. Doesn't seem to know where she is or who he is or what she's even doing there.
Yeah.
Smart. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Now, there's a picture out there that night of him chasing me with, I'm not sure if it was a dildo or his erect penis.
Oh. Was it coming out of the fly of his pants?
It seemed to have been. All I knew is I wanted to get away fast.
Smart.
Yeah.
Smart, yeah. So, anyway, that's when, I think it's the last time Drew and I saw each other. Yeah, that was in New York on Thursday night.
How was the rest of the weekend for you?
Little gamey. Well, let's see. We stepped out. Stop banging, Drew. I went and did Stern on a Friday morning. Oh, that son of a bitch. You know, the thing about Stern is one of these guys. Actually, his producer, Gary, is this way, where he's like an attorney for your wife during a divorce thing, where it's like you pull him aside or you have a couple drinks and you start speaking loosely, like, hey, brother, man to man, off the record, let me tell you something.
That's coming back.
I stepped out a couple of times on her. I banged her best friend. I, you know, you're a guy. I mean, you may be a lawyer first. But no way. Don't do that. It will come back and haunt your ass.
You understand? Can't listen. You and Jimmy invented that move.
I know.
What are you talking about?
I know. Well, here's what happened. I called Stern on Friday, like a week ago, and I just said, hey, buddy, I'm coming out to New York. Okay, here's how it worked. I called Stern on Friday, and I said, just a personal call. I'm coming out to New York. I'll be there for the weekend. That's how I said it, because I realized I'm going to go to the Axe party Thursday night. I'm going to get hammered. Yeah. I don't want to get up early morning and go do Stern. I love Stern. I love everybody, but I just want to go get drunk and crash out and wake up at noon. I don't want to think about it, you know?
And the thing about Eastern time and stuff.
Eastern time. And the thing about Stern, too, is you're working a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's a great time. It's like whitewater kayaking is a rush, but you don't want to do it after getting blasted with Steve-O the night before.
It's sparring with your buddy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like I just want to sleep in.
Yeah, yeah.
So I specifically worded it to him. I said, I'm going to be in for the weekend. I'm coming in over the weekend. You want to get together, go out, get a drink or something? And he said, oh, man, I'm leaving right after the show on Friday to go up to my kids' camp and up whatever. I'm going to the Hamptons. You want to go to the Hamptons? I said, nah, I can't. I got my buddy. We're staying at the blah, blah, and the blah, blah. He said, well, what time? When are you coming in? And I realized, don't start lying.
Post.
So I said, Thursday night. And he said, oh, perfect. You do the show Friday morning. And I was like, all right. So sure enough, now I'm doing the show Friday morning. So I call Gary a couple days later, the producer, and I say, Gary, look, I just want to make sure, because when I talked to Stern, he was in the Hamptons again at a barbecue or something, and I don't know if he talked to you. I just want to confirm I'm coming in Friday morning. And he said, fine. We're going to have Stephen Baldwin from 7 to 8, and then we'll have you from 8 on.
Oh, okay.
And I said, oh, all right. I said, that's good. I said, just let me give you a heads up on Baldwin. Baldwin has found Jesus Christ.
I'm going to pray for you too, Adam.
Will you?
I am, dude.
Thanks.
I am, because you're obviously such a retard.
That's Baldwin. So I said, now look, Baldwin is an obnoxious guy. Everyone knows that. And he's been on this show many times, and we get along fine. But look, he's an obnoxious guy. And now that he's found Jesus Christ, I put a couple zeros behind that obnoxious. I mean, look out for the guy. I'm giving you a heads up as a guy who's had him on my show since he found the good Lord, you know?
Yeah.
So he'll be in 7 to 8. That's fine. See if you can shove him out of there 8 o'clock. I'll roll in, and everything will work out just fine. So naturally, I roll in at 5 to 8. Where's Baldwin? Right. He's not here yet. Not here yet. We're not here. He's running late. All right. Well, where is he? He just shows up right as I walk in.
Oh.
All right. Fantastic.
Oh.
All right. Let's bring Adam out. All right. Let's bring Adam comes out. I sit there. What's going on? Yeah, we got Adam Carolla here. Stephen Baldwin's waiting to come out. Heard you said he was a blowhard. Thumping on the Bible. You said he was a pain in the ass. You're telling Gary's pain in the ass. You know, I don't know. I don't remember what I said. You know, I said, you know, he's a man of Christ. You know, I heard you told Gary. Gary took notes. Gary said, come on, let's bring Stephen Baldwin out. Stephen, come on out. Stephen, come on. Here, sit next to Adam here. So what is this, Adam, you're saying about Stephen Baldwin being a blowhard? You're telling Gary not to get him out of here, not have him on the show.
Fantastic.
Fans, so comfortable.
What happened?
So comfortable.
What happened?
So comfortable.
Well, by the way, if anybody else had done that to you, you'd be yelling and screaming and carrying
so
on and wanting to kick their butts. I hope you did that to Stern. Naturally, that's how you treat anybody
else.
I was
hungover. I drank by mistake 3 cans of Axe at the party that night.
That's not what it's meant for.
I thought it was alcohol.
Yeah.
I was loaded on some Stoli. I wasn't feeling great. I was so busy defending myself and backpedaling that I couldn't get angry. I was on the defense, you know. Then, here's the crazy. Now here's the 1-2 thing. So after that uncomfortable exchange that went on for me, you know, Stern goes 55 minutes without a break, by the way. And I'm talking literally 55 minutes without a commercial.
Yeah.
After that uncomfortable exchange, I get rid of him. I walk into the green room he has 20-minute commercial breaks, too, because he goes like 50 minutes. I walk into the green room, and it's like, oh, Christ, thank God that's over. There's Doug Stanhope, the guy who replaced me from the Man Show, standing there. What are you doing here? I'm on the show. Uh-oh. And then he comes in. We say, hey, there's some bad blood between Adam and Never met the guy before. He's a nice enough guy. And as I've said many times, we quit the Man Show. I don't particularly care who filled. I don't care.
God, what Stern
who
is like,
filled
this
in.
How he shows love and respect by sabotage and ambush?
Shows love and respect.
Yeah.
So it was particularly Jimmy made sure and fire off an email to Stern explaining to him that I had surgery so my head wouldn't sweat. And, of course, that turned into they got about 2.5 hours worth of fodder out of that.
Can I tell you something?
Yes.
Somebody emailed Nicole, one of our K-Rock disc jockeys who leads into us sometimes, about your procedure. Apparently there's giant websites designed to sort of bring people together who've had adverse effects from this procedure.
Yeah, fantastic.
And yeah, so there are all these people that want to talk to you. You want to get to Adam. Wait, listen.
Here's why I don't talk to you about anything, by the way.
Because I get too negative?
All you do is tell me negative things. Let me tell you, yes, I may die from this procedure, but I got to tell you.
Your head don't sweat.
Head don't sweat, number one. I'll be a dry corpse, number one. Number two, the hernia that you had me all worked into.
I know. Hear about
zero,
it. That makes
zero,
me so mad.
Nothing, zero. Working the next day, never even thought
but
about
anyway,
it.
But anyway, this is all sort of like chronic fatigue type symptoms, that kind of thing. I know
that,
I thought you loved that.
Those are idiots.
But there's something about nipple sensation here. Let me get to that. Yeah, yeah. Did your nipple sensation change?
I swear to Christ, I felt my nipple today, and I was like, hey, it's hard. what it was.
Anyway, I couldn't find
All right, Drew, get rid of that stuff.
True, it's true.
All right, so I'm still in New York, Drew. I'm not done.
I'm sorry, beg your pardon.
I'm not done with New York.
Go ahead.
First off, when did you leave New York? Friday morning?
Yeah, yeah, early.
What time?
Like 7 o'clock.
Oh, okay. It rained buckets and sheets.
Oh, no kidding.
On Friday afternoon, and I got caught out in it, and it was novelty comical, like it only rains that way, East Coast kind of rain, where you see the rain hit the ground and the explosion of the rain as it hits the ground. You know, I mean, novelty pouring. Yeah. I mean, it just dumped, and me and my buddy Chris were out on foot, 28 blocks from where we were, and just took a soaking. Just drenched. I mean, it was 85 degrees, so it didn't really matter. But it was just novelty raining on Friday, and it rained all the way through Friday. Just dumped.
Wow, lightning, thunder, that kind of thing.
No, just dumped rain, nonstop, and then it cleared up on Saturday. Took in a show, had a good time.
Good,
everything's great. Went to the museum too crowded. Come on,
the Met.
Too many school. Yeah, I went
weekend.
To Natural History. Yeah,
oh,
it was
natural
on the weekend.
History.
Yeah, all these kids. Too many kids.
Go to the Met.
Bless you, kids. You stay home. You got that internet now. You don't need the museum. Leave that to the old folks.
Here it is. Hard, sore, and sensitive nipple. See that? Hard.
Hard.
That's you.
I did. I felt my nipple today. Yeah. It was hard.
And this
kind
of
dug it.
And so one of the other net users on the thread goes, yeah, that nipple thing. What's up with that?
Yeah.
Especially when working out.
No, really?
Is that right?
No.
No.
Right, well, maybe. Who the hell knows? Look, if you start thinking your nipples are hard, your nipples will be hard. If you start thinking your nipples are sensitive, they'll be sensitive. If you start thinking you're feeling tired, you'll feel tired.
Yeah.
You start thinking about all this stuff, you'll feel it, you'll do it. I'm no monkey. I don't get into that. And stop. Get off the internet, everyone, except for you kids that want to go to the museum. You kids go to the...
Instead of the museum.
Yeah, you kids go instead. Live in your own virtual masturbatory world and leave the real stuff for me. Yeah, place was packed. Went to the Intrepid, the aircraft carrier.
Oh, yeah.
Took a nice look at that.
That's cool.
Got all those cool planes on there.
That's cool.
Felt very patriotic. Everyone should walk around an aircraft carrier one of these days.
Yeah, they're huge.
Yeah, it's good times. But, you know, you really realize how the terrorists have just completely effed it up for everyone constantly. It's just New York is... Non-stop security, constant metal detectors. I mean, you want to go look at a battleship, you got to stay in line for 20 minutes. Everyone going through the metal detector, clearing the purses out, doing the whole thing. I mean, I've seen the Intrepid before. It's an aircraft carrier built World War II, had a few kamikaze hits, has a nice rich history. They mothballed it out in New York Harbor there. And, you know, when I went 8 years ago, you just walked right on. There you go, walk right on. Now it's like, no, get in line, strip search. You really realize, and I know it sounds like a cliche, but they've won. I'm just standing in line getting rained on, waiting to go sit on a battleship. Ironically, a battleship's like, how much security do you need around stuff that we kicked your ass with? All right, big long line. And then you get to the airport. And let me say this with the airport, too. I have no opinions on any of this stuff, Drew, but... Couple things. First off, JFK, they're doing like some $4 billion remodel on it out there in New York. That place is a dump.
It has always been. It has been since like 65.
It's been a dump for a good 35 years.
United's got a nice new terminal.
Flew American, dump, 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 and more dump. Okay, number one. Number two, it really doesn't instill much confidence in the traveler when the security changes from airport to airport so drastically.
Right.
One place you're taking your shoes off, the other place you're not. One place they're opening up your bag and telling you can't travel with a lighter, the other one you're not.
By the way,
place you can take this, you can't take
that. One place,
really? Not going to standardize this one?
And by the way, where is it where they're taking the lighters out? What airport is that?
That's JFK.
Really? It's
usually, yeah, true. You're always wrong. You should always know.
That says Waterloo, Iowa.
Yeah.
It's a little tiny airport, so they're going over your toenails.
Haven't been there. The point is, maybe they're taking it out there. They're not doing it at LAX.
No, yeah.
Here's the point. Here's the thing about airport security. Airport security should be like a McDonald's.
Yeah.
A Big Mac tastes exactly the same at the McDonald's in Pomona as it does at the one in Iowa, as it does the one in Canada, as it does the one in China,
mm-hmm.
I'm imagining.
Mm-hmm.
Airport security, exactly the same. Set of rules, set of regulations, same exact training, that's it. Same protocol, exactly. I don't like the idea that I'm taking my shoes off at one place and not at the other place.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to take them off at all, but it makes me wonder about the other place.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, JFK, and here's the other thing that doesn't instill a lot of confidence or makes you just realize what idiots they all are. Everyone at JFK had to take their shoes off. And so that got you down to either your socks or a lot of people, like women, are just barefoot. They're just wearing sandals or whatever. Stretch of 42-year-old tile with grout. Black is Vin Rames. What the hell's that black actor? I'm trying to think of his name. All right, you ain't going to come up with it. The point is Ving Rames. Okay. That's his name. Oh, man, is that guy black? Here's one. Just the dirtiest floor you've ever seen, 40-year-old tile, and they ain't a run. You know, go down to Home Depot and get a runner for $4 and roll it out. If you're going to have everyone take their shoes off and just walk across this thing.
Good point.
And then the point, you know, there's that little part where they cordon it off, makes it a little square. Yep. They need you to stand there.
Yep.
That thing had a small carpet sample on it, but it wasn't carpet. It was that outdoor carpet, that gray stuff that's about an eighth of an inch thick that had... Yep. There were 11 black gum spots on that one thing. I mean, they found it. It must have been something from outside that they brought in from Mechanics Bay or something and rolled it out. You don't want to get a square, decent thing. You're going to have people just stand barefoot on a 40-year-old gum? Just stand. Here's a kiddie pool filled with hepatitis and things that grow in hippo flop. Here, why don't you sit in that? It was disgusting.
Novelty.
It was novelty disgusting. Just this weird square with all the black marks. You know when you see like old gum that's been stuck in stuff?
Absolutely.
And you're just standing there barefoot where 1,000 other people stand barefoot before you? Really? That's as good as we're going to do. Yeesh. And everyone's taking their shoes off and we're not going to roll anything out or do anything. Everyone just walk through the filthy, disgusting floor in their socks or their bare feet and then go stand on the gum carpet over here where there's actually more gum showing than carpet. That's secure. That's your plan? No one wants to head down to the home club and drop $10, get a little something? A little square to stand on? Nothing? No? Okay. That doesn't instill confidence, by the way. I mean, I swear to God, I thought I was in, like, Calcutta. It's like, what? Who's running this? What's going on? How come they don't have anything? I had 1,000 questions, and, of course, no answer. That's the way it goes. All right, Drew, what's up?
Here we go.
Take
a couple calls. Maybe one call.
Gotta have the gum spots. Gotta have the 11 gum spots there and the 3-foot by 3-foot square that you got.
They gotta be petrified and ancient, though.
You just had the person walk down the Ho Chi Minh Trail barefoot. Why not just have him stand barefoot here? You got to stand on the gum carpet? Is that a punishment or is that a good thing? I can't tell if it's a step up or a step down. It's clearly filthy, although the floor's filthy, too. It's kind of tough. Tough call. Well, I guess if you avoid the gum and you have to do it like you're playing Twister, you could actually stand there. While some $8-an-hour guy combed through a toiletry bag and found the Viagra. That's right, in the condoms. That's right, in the pocket porn. And the pocket pee. I can't say it, but starts with a P. And
is that what they found in yours?
I
got to do an interview about
always looking.
I got to do Viagra as a club drug. If anybody has any comments about that,
nobody
please call.
Does. I don't know nobody does. I got stuff to do on driving, Drew. I got hours and hours and hours and hours. Let me just say this. We got to take calls.
Yeah.
We got to take calls.
Yes.
Let me say this.
Okay.
On the way into the airport, LAX, early Thursday morning. Oh, I got yelled at by the stewardess because I poured myself my own glass of champagne.
Ooh.
Sir, this is not an open bar. You know what I said to her? Hey, first class, lighten up. She was pissed.
That was it for the rest of the trip for you.
You know what?
What?
Didn't punish me.
Oh.
But was PO'd, had a nice big nasty exchange on the ground with the stewardess who was like a grizzled veteran one.
Yeah.
Just pissed off. And again, you know my policy.
Yeah.
You want to ride in the back of the plane, you pay $271. You want to ride in the front of the plane, you pay $3,700. You want to pay an extra $3,300 and move up front? Fine. If not, shut your pie hole. And listen, bitch, start pouring some champagne. That's the thing. That's my thing. Let's get to it. It's $3,000 extra. It's not double. It's not double the price. It's not three times. It's not five times the price. It's 10 times the price. To arrive at exactly the same time. And if the plane crashes, you know, the guys who, when the plane went into the Trade Center, guess what section hit the tower first?
Got the best view.
I'll tell you what section.
Yeah.
First class. First class made first contact with the tower. That's what you get for an extra $3,000. So start pouring, baby. That's my feeling. And I got no problem with it. I'm not going to pretend. Screw you. Go start pouring. They don't like that, but I mean, what do you want? Huh? Ooh. Also came this close to out of the salmon.
What?
That was another one of my things.
Out of the salmon. Oh, they were out of the salmon.
They were out of something.
Man.
That's the other one. That's my other policy with first class. You know, first class as well. You get a movie. All right, there's $8.
Yeah.
Seats are 4 inches wider. All right, there's a couple $100. You get a couple of cocktails. All right, there's $30. Still, we haven't made a dent in that $3,300 price difference, have we? Yeah, well, here's the thing. Get your choice between you can have the salmon or the ribeye, but half the time they're out of it. And they're like, and my whole thing is like, hey, you're out of the salmon? All right, $800. Because I mean, if you really break down the first class thing, isn't that?
Yeah,
wouldn't the salmon be worth $800?
Just about, yeah.
All right, take off the $800 or go find me some salmon. And here's what you got to do. If you got 10 people in first class, you need 10 ribeye and 10 salmon. That's it. Mm-hmm. If everyone gets, because that's what they'll do to you. They'll go, ooh, everyone got the salmon. Yeah. So, all right, go get one.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did it. But they found one.
Ooh.
I think it was like underneath a flotation pillow in a coach or something, but they found one.
His worst flight attendants.
Oh, I feel so sorry for them. I get liquored up. Oh, get out of my mind.
The humanity.
Me. Sitting next to Paula Abdul.
Were you?
Yeah.
Oh, how fun.
On the flight over. She was talking on the cell phone and handed it to me immediately. It was a guy I knew.
Oh, how fun is that?
Yeah. I don't know what the hell. I don't know how he knew I was sitting next to her, but Michelle?
Probably heard you complaining.
Yes?
You don't need a phone to hear me complain. You just open your window.
That's what I'm saying.
Michelle?
Yeah?
Yeah, 23. We're running up against a break, baby. We got to pay some bills.
What's going
on?
Well, we'll talk to you, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's your problem?
All right. First of all, my periods used to always be regular, like every 28 or 29 days. In the last, like, maybe like 5 or 6 months, they've been like between 28 and 34 days or so. And I was having sex on Friday morning. It was like 3 in the morning. And our condom broke. And we didn't realize it till after. So I went to Planned Parenthood, got the morning after pill, and I took
it. Good girl.
Good
job.
But my last period was the 24th of last month, so it would have been the 20, or today's 32 days, and I still haven't got my period yet. But I've had cramps, like I'm going to
You want to hear my airport jag, or we're going to
help
math
Michelle. The deal is, the morning after pill will screw your period up for a month or two, for sure. So now all bets are off. The fact is, you should be menstruating any day now. You still have a potential fertile period here. You did exactly the right thing going on the morning after pill. That you got there within a day. That put your risk down to around 1 out of 10 of getting pregnant, maybe 2 out of 10. And your period's going to be messed up for a little while. Don't worry about it. Right now, they get messed up. And now, once you've regularized again, you can go back and get checked out. You may have a cyst or endometriosis or something like that. But the difference between 28 and 32 days in a period, it is not a big deal.
Fine.
Relax.
All right. We got to take a break.
And we got to hear some more airplanes.
Well, let me just say this.
Yeah, just that.
This is a ride to the to LAX.
Yeah.
Town car drivers had a great one on the way back. On the way, cab drivers, I love those New York cabbies.
Yeah.
Maniacs.
Yeah.
Maniacs.
Except I found the only one who drove slower than people walked.
Town car guys can do that, but the cabbies are maniacs.
Usually.
Yeah. I had nothing but maniacs in New York, and I realized the reason they're maniacs is because they drive with impunity.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get tickets, and when you don't get a ticket and the meter's literally running, you try to get from point A to point B as fast and as efficiently as you possibly can. I realize L.A.'s full of such chicken-ass cops and filled with such happy, such ticket the policy in L.A. is really just bend over and rape who's ever driving it, ever, whenever there's an open opportunity for it. So everyone drives like pussies in L.A. Conversely, we don't go anywhere because everyone is scared to death. And then every once in a while, the Reardon or whatever other nut jobs in charge gets up and makes a little speech about getting L.A. moving. Stop giving out chicken-ass tickets and we'd move. Everyone's scared to death and we can't drive. And that's why L.A. cab drivers drive so slowly, because if you're driving a hack for a living and you're getting a ticket every 2.5 weeks, you're screwed.
Mm-hmm.
So why not just drive slow? Just drive slow and don't take any chances, because they give out such chicken-ass tickets in this city.
You're talking to me.
I'm talking to you,
right. I've still got my
oh, please.
Declaration, or what the hell they call
oh,
it, the court by declaration.
I swear to Christ, it was the only good thing that ever came of 9/11, is I had one day to drive like a man. I just realized, everyone's, screw it. I was doing 90 on the freeways, F it. No one's giving out tickets today, I decided.
Wow.
Yeah, I was right. Mm-hmm. That's the only good thing. All right, and again, what section hit the building first, Drew?
First class.
That's right. So drop the attitude and start pouring the bubbly. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. It's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Drew.
Mm-hmm.
We got to take some calls, buddy.
That would be good.
Let me say this first. Then we got to take some calls.
That would be good.
Let me say this, though.
Okay.
And then we're going right to the phone.
That would be great.
Because that's what drives the show.
Yeah, generally.
Let me tell you the stars of the show.
The callers.
They're the stars.
Yeah.
We just man the mics and get paid.
Yeah.
And you guys don't get paid, but you're the stars.
But tonight, the stars will not have an appearance.
No, it's a guest star. It's a guest star.
It's Adam.
Guest starring Adam Carolla. We get in the car on Sunday morning at like the crack of F, say about 6 in the morning, and I go to bed at 2. And we're heading out to the airport, and I don't know, the guy who's driving the town car gets me started. Doesn't take much, but I got going on my left turn arrow. And I start going bananas on this guy. What's wrong with these left turn arrows? Why are they turning red? The signal's green. The arrow's red. We should drive through them. And they're springing up all over town.
In New York?
And they're coming. No. This is
in
L.A.
Out here in L.A.
They're all over town now. All over town. And there's more popping up. Just drove through downtown on the way back. Arrows everywhere. Put more in Culver City. And again, anyone who's listening to the show, I encourage you, especially if you're in the Los Angeles area, drive through the red arrow.
And I'll remind you that one of the great cultural advantages about Pasadena, where I live, is that it's left turn yield.
Right. They trust adults to actually drive
green
adults.
Arrow, you got free access.
Right.
Otherwise, it's yield oncoming traffic.
Right. Now, here are the rules. If your signal is green, it's not driving through a red arrow when your signal is red. That means your signal's red and you're driving through a red. If the signal is green and there's no oncoming traffic and there's no pedestrians crossing the street, drive through the red arrow. I do it all day. Did a great one in Burbank yesterday. Stack of 8 cars.
Went around them.
And this next lane. Love that move. You lemmings, you guys just wait there. Have your life just melt away while you're waiting for the man to give you the nod and let you turn. Even though there's no traffic coming, you pussies wait there for the man. But the ace man, he got things to do. He's got to pick up Chinese takeout. You know what I mean? Important mission. Here's the point. I'm telling the driver about this. He shares my disgust, but not really. He's not outraged like the rest of the Los Angelinos should be. And they're not. No one's picked this up but me. And he says to me, you know what's worse? You know what's worse? And I said to him, nothing. You're not going to do better than this. And he goes, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I said, I know it ain't going to be worse. Whatever you say, it ain't going to be worse. And he said, I'll tell you what's worse. When you're driving and you're on the freeway and there's some guy right on your tail and he won't leave you alone. And I said, worse? You're not going fast enough. And he's like, well, that's what I said. Look, here's what that means. You either get out of the way or you speed up. What do you mean worse? I like that guy. Hold on. That's me. I'm behind you now. I'm not even in the car. We're communicating via intercom.
What'd he do?
He was like, I don't know, man. I mean, you're driving. And that guy's right up on it. I said, he's trying to get somewhere. He's trying to get from point A to point B. You're not going fast enough. Get out of the way. I just knew when he said it's worse. I knew not only is this not, it's like one of our callers when they call and they have, they say, I'll tell you why they have an answer for us for something. I know not only is this not going to be worse, it's going to be the opposite of that. It's going to be the worst
example. This couldn't have gotten worse.
Here's the worst it's going to be. It's going to be the worst example you could come up with.
Yeah,
somebody's driving fast. That's the worst. I knew when he said that. And I cut him off. I said, this is not going to be worse.
Right turn arrows, red right turn arrows are kind of nasty.
Right turn, yeah. Everyone, drive through them. Please, everyone, drive through them. Please. Anna?
Yeah?
You're 18. I'm going to start keeping track. I swear to Christ, I've driven through 1,500 by now.
Wow.
Yeah, never got a ticket. And if I get a ticket tonight, I'll be happy. I'll laugh like a maniac.
By the way, I tried creating a responding to my ticket by trial by declaration.
Yes,
where you have the privilege of paying your ticket.
Drew, we got to take we got to take some calls. We can't be talking.
I know what happened by trial by declaration. I can't get a response.
Not
going to
work. Not going to work. Anna.
Yeah.
How can we help you tonight, sweetie?
Okay. Well, I seriously, I don't know what to do. I feel really bad, but I have problems having sex, and I'm not sure how to work around it. Or
what's the problem?
Well, I can't have sex with my boyfriend, and
why?
I have sex with other people, though.
Ooh.
Why?
Yeesh.
Yeah.
That's screwed up.
Well,
right?
I don't know.
Wait a second. You say other people. How many other people?
I don't even know.
All right. And where do you meet these other people?
A lot of them are friends, just randomly kind of.
All right.
And yet you can't do it with your boyfriend?
No.
Does your boyfriend know you're like this?
No.
Okay.
And you think that's not screwed up?
Well, no, that's why I'm calling, because I need help.
Okay, all right, hold on a second. I'm giving you two choices, either bogus or B, you're just severely screwed up.
Well,
this is really screwed up for an 18-year-old. So what happened to you? Where's your dad? What did he do to you before he left?
My dad didn't do anything. My dad's awesome, but my uncle kind of, I don't know.
What'd your uncle do?
A couple times.
He what?
I've been raped a couple times, and once was by my boyfriend a long time ago, a different guy, and it just kind of freaks me out every time.
Stop. What about your uncle? What about the, forget about it. Forget your boyfriend. What about your uncle?
It's a very definite bogus feel to this whole show, but go ahead. We'll keep trying.
I met him. I didn't know him for a long time.
No, your uncle. You said
that. I was around 11 or 12. And,
yeah.
Just had a bad experience.
What?
Well, he gave me stuff to drink, because I'd never tasted alcohol before. My parents are pretty religious. My dad's a pastor, actually. And I don't know. I just remember, him making me do stuff that I didn't want to do. And
hold on.
Yeah.
There's a bogus quality to it. Although there are elements of specific information, like I hadn't met him before.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's a guy putting her up to it. It sounds like there's...
No, let's keep going.
It's like a puzzle with a couple missing pieces.
Yeah, we have no other option but to keep going.
All right, Anna. So your uncle then did what after he got you drunk?
He apologized the next day.
Anna, what did he do?
Well,
Adam's got his finger poised over you, the hold button here.
Let me explain. Let me just explain something to everybody. I just did a half an hour on New York and driving and cabs.
He would happily launch into an hour.
He's a loaded gun.
He's wild.
I got two goddamn hours in me, kids. Yeah. You understand? If I got to fight you for any answers, I'm going right into it again. That's it. I'm not going to squeeze you like a bar rag to try to get asked the same question four times. I want to know what your uncle did to you. I'm sorry he did it to you, but I want to know what he did to you. And I don't want to beat around the bush anymore. So, Anna?
Yeah?
Drew, tell her where my finger is.
Finger's about 4 centimeters above the hold button here.
Tell her where my other finger is.
Up his nose.
Okay. Now.
All right. Well, I have nothing to do. He made me give him oral sex, and then he did it to me, and I didn't...
How old were you at the time?
I was 11. I had no idea what was even going on.
How old was he?
He didn't even know what sex was at that point.
How old was he?
About 30, probably.
You can wipe that off on your shirt now, Adam.
Oh, my finger?
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. 30. And how is it that you had to be alone with him where he could feed you alcohol? How did that all happen?
Well, because he came down to visit us, and then he told my parents that he was going to take me fishing, and so we went fishing for the day.
All
and
right.
Then I was
good like, enough. All right, good enough. That's specific enough.
This is
all right. Here's the deal.
This is abuse.
All right. So you were sexually abused when you were 11 years old, which you almost made it. You know, when things happen after 12, the cement is a little drier in the brain, but 11 right. it can really screw you up.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is, what happens is one of the ways to think about this is you end up sort of fractured inside with sort of a good self and a bad self, and anything that has to do with sex is attached to a bad and dirty part of yourself. You think of yourself as bad, and so you can only do that with people that you don't actually feel intimate with. You sort of feel like you can expose this bad side of part of yourself and not be hurt.
Yeah.
While the boyfriend is somebody you actually care about, no, sex doesn't connect to that at all. You can't be sexual with that person.
Yeah.
And it's a split in who you are, and that all needs to be reintegrated, and that's where therapy
all right.
works
you,
and how it works.
Anna, you need a ton of therapy.
Yeah.
Sorry, baby.
And
doll.
Thankfully, this didn't happen when you were three. I mean, there's 11, you can treat this.
Yeah.
So.
And let me tell you, your uncle's really a hero for not having intercourse with you. He really is.
Yeah, American
he's
hero.
He's true American.
Yeah.
That jackass needs a bullet in his head. Did he? Is he dead? Is he in prison?
No,
where is
still
he?
He's alive. And actually, we have a pretty good relationship now.
No. Oh, my God. No. Stay away from him. This guy's a bad person. Who's the brother or sister of?
My mom.
Your mom
was
okay?
abused.
Yeah.
Your mom was sexually abused.
Yeah, something happened to her, too.
Sorry.
Yeah, her dad used to.
Oh, yeah. Hold on a second.
Shock.
Shocking.
Can't believe it.
Yeah, and listen, all you a-holes who call this show all the time. Why do you say everyone is sexually abused? How do you know her mom is sexually abused? Shut up.
That's how it works.
That's how it works. But we're all individuals. Shut up. You are not. That's how it works.
You're individuals, but you're under the force of certain phenomena.
Yeah. How come none of us can escape the grasp of gravity? We're all individuals. Tough. Of course, her mom was molested. Yeah. That's where the brother. That's why the brother thought it was a good idea to get some oral from an 11-year-old.
Hey.
And by the way, how? First off, I don't know what. I can't think of anything creepier than getting it on with, you know, your sister's kid or your brother's kid. You know, and. It just and Drew never sees it this way, but what a colossal FU to the brother or sister.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's one thing to borrow $3,000 and not pay him back or to crash your car or something. Effing their kid. That's just a ridiculous FU to the brother or the sister.
It's FU to everybody. Nobody matters. Nobody cares. You know, I mean,
right.
you don't exist to these people.
Right. And listen, folks, please. I can speak freely as an atheist. I have no bounds. And also, we're in safe harbor. All you guys that just think that this is a good idea, just eat a bullet, would you? Just have a little dignity. Put a shotgun in your mouth, would you? Or just say carbon monoxide's a nice out,
there actually are treatments before you do something to somebody.
Let's not chance it.
Go ahead and access some of the National Council on Sexual Addiction and Compulsivity has got some access to a website.
All right, but if you don't want to get treatment, I got a treatment for you. Bullet in the mouth. You do the trigger with your big toe. You got to take your shoes off. All right, so it's like security over at JFK.
Shoes off.
Yeah, except for your floor is going to be a little cleaner than what they had over there. Oh, okay, Drew. Okay,
yeah,
we got to take a break.
I'm with John.
Do an extended break because I got. Drew, you don't. Okay. Okay. It was like a challenge from Fear Factor. Really, yeah. Take your shoes off and walk 30 feet in an airport that hasn't been mopped since 1963. Just gum all over the floor, scuzzy grout. Okay, take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Hey, Engineer Chris, get on that computer box there. Find out when the bars open in New York City.
When they open.
They're all open. There's a time. There's an official time. Because here's the thing. This has come up before. I don't know if you know this about me, Drew. I like to have a smart cocktail before I get on the plane.
A smart one.
Yeah. Loosens the nerves up just a little bit. Makes me a better flyer.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? New York, they don't open that bar till noon.
Yeah.
It's noon in JFK. And I realize by noon, 85,000 people have come through here. 30,000 of them would have liked Bloody Mary.
By the way, 20,000 of them are in some other time zone.
Of them, it's 12:45 in the evening.
That's right.
That's right. That's, and by the way, they should factor that in. Hey, baby, it ain't 9 in the morning to moi. I was in Singapore. It's, to me, it's 4 a.m. 2 days before this. So serve it up, would you, baby? That's the thing. So JFK, no booze until noon. And I thought to myself, now LAX, I think you can start booze about 8 a.m. or something like that, right? Like to figure that out. But here's the thing. Do we need to change? Does it? I scream about a little uniformity every once in a while.
It's a confederation of states.
Does every TV remote got to have the power in a different place? Yeah. Does every hotel shower have to have a different configuration to work the hot and the cold? Does the age of consent need to be 4 in Hawaii and 26 in Iowa? Can we just go ahead and figure some things out so I can get my goddamn bearings straight? Here's the thing. You leave LAX, you have a booze at 7:30 in the morning. You're leaving JFK 2 days later, you want a Bloody Mary at 10:45. It ain't happening. And I'm thinking to myself, hey, jack off, I'm not flying the plane. First off, I'm going to be on the plane for the next 6 hours. Where am I going? Number two, you should hope I get a little booze and fall asleep on the plane. Number three, why not? What am I doing? What's going on? Why noon? And like I said, most people travel in the morning. I mean, they really do. I swear to Christ, I don't know if I've even taken a flight that's been afternoon. Every flight I take is an 8 a.m. or 10 a.m. or 7 a.m. flight. Whatever. Open the goddamn bar and give people what they want. Or just make it a time and just figure it out. Call it 9 a.m. throughout the country, and then we would all know what the rules were. There's nothing worse. And by the way, you never feel like more of an alcoholic than when you show up. And they got the guy standing behind the bar at the captain's nest up there. He's standing there in case some wuss wants some OJ. And you just go up to him and like, hey, how about give me a blame? I'm sorry, sir. We don't open till. And it's like, it's 8:26 in the morning. What, I got 9 hours? You can't serve something? No. Really? What am I going to do? Crash the plane? What's going on? Why can't we just standardize this? And really, New York, you guys, all you do over there is brag about how your bars stay open 2 hours longer than ours. How about your airport, huh? Bring that up. Got to bring a flask into that place. Did you find out anything, Chris? Because let me tell you something. If I find out that the airport is later than the city, I'm going to be a one-man killing machine.
Ooh, yeah,
that you guys just arbitrarily decided to punish people this way. Find out anything? No.
They open up at 11:30. This one.
All right.
First off, it's not 11. It can't be 11:30. It's going to be 11 or it's going to be 12. True. Right, You may have to get up.
Heather, 17.
Hi. I'm Heather.
Yeah.
And I've been having sex for like a year now.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep getting bladder infections. Mm-hmm. And like my friends tell me it's from sex, and like some people.
Yes,
like,
it is. It's called honeymoon cystitis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's the old name for it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's for a reason.
People used to wait
till their honeymoon to have sex. Yes.
Now they're giving oral at 11 anal at 13.
Yeah.
So Heather, do you have a steady boyfriend?
Yeah, we've been like dating for almost 2 years.
Okay. All right. And are you using protection?
Most of the time.
Ooh, are you planning to get pregnant?
No. Once or twice, like, it slipped off and we didn't stop.
And did you take the morning after pill after that?
No, but it's been a long time since that happened.
But why?
Hold on. She makes quite a compelling argument, as they always do. Touche.
Yeah,
I guess.
No, you got me there. Got me. It's been a while. It's been a while.
Next time you think before you open your mouth.
Imagine that.
Excuse me. A couple times the condom slipped off and we finished up.
Yeah.
But it's been a long time. Heather, next time you get that, morning after pill, you keep it in the medicine cabinet.
Okay.
Because if that happens again, you take the pill immediately.
Okay.
All right? Condom's fine, but you need a backup in case they fail once in a while.
Okay.
Far as the bladder infections go, some women take antibiotics every time they have sex. Some take them chronically. Some take them only when they get the infections. You need to talk to your doctor about it and be prepared and tell him why and how it's happening, him or her, how or why it's happening, and they'll get something going for you.
All right.
Pretty simple, man.
Let's see if we can go quick here. Laura?
Hi.
You're 21?
Yeah. Adam, I want to give you a bit of random information first. Did you know that the average person waits over 2 weeks during their lifetime for the signal to change green?
Yeah, that's just a standard signal.
Yeah, if you work in the Culver City area, go ahead and make it 3 months and make it. You're getting sodomized during that 3 months. It's not actually waiting. You're actually being raped from behind. But thank you. Yes,
Andrew, yes. I can't wait for your next book to come out.
Well, I got one coming out July 30th. Matter of fact.
Oh, yeah. Exciting.
It's called When Painkillers
Attack.
When Painkillers Become Danger, I think it's called.
When talking about painkillers becomes boring. Yeah.
This actually isn't like a memoir like the other one. This is a factual book that some doctors and I wrote. So.
Hold on. How are you doing, Engineer Chris? You find...
He's good, Adam. He's good.
You doing all right?
He's
okay.
Yeah.
What do you have? Do you find out when bars open in New York City?
There's no times.
Leave the boy alone. All right, bye. Right, folks, on to your college. Huh?
Laura,
go ahead.
Okay. My problem is I kind of had this online friend that I've known for like the past 5 years, and he emailed me about a year and a half, and like after not hearing from him in like a year or two. And we started talking, and we eventually started talking on the phone and stuff like that. And we got like really into each other, and he actually lives out in California. And we had made plans like a bunch of different times like to see each other. And there was
all right, hold on a second. I heard Laura's voice. I had her. She came in about 1:55, and it's like I read Drew's first book. Okay, now we're at 172. I'm waiting for his next book. Oh, we're at 185 now. Online. Oh, 205. Boyfriend, different state. 235. I couldn't keep up with
all
the
right,
weight.
We're going to talk to her after the break.
All right. Hold on a second there, Laura. We'll take a quick break. Drew's going to get on the internet, find out when the bars open in New York City, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Drew is hard at work, searching Google right now, trying to find out when you can legally consume alcohol in New York, the state of New York. Now, here in Los Angeles, and I don't know if it moves around California, but in Los Angeles, you can start boozing at 7 a.m. You know what? Oh, 6 a.m. Sorry.
So says yeah. Our alcoholic who works here.
Well, now I got to set my alarm, Anderson. I got to move it up an hour. Yeah, now here's the thing. In Los Angeles, if you're going to a 7-Eleven, you want to buy a six-pack, you can't buy anything between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. That's a 4 hours. It feels like 4 days to many of my friends, myself included. You don't want to miss that 2 a.m. window. Then you got to stand out there for 4 hours, Drew.
Fantastic. I'm sorry, Adam.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Just,
I'm going to make it.
Just standing out front of 7-Eleven until you start seeing the sun coming up, sprinklers turning on, birds chirping,
fantastic.
People walking their dogs. And then you go in and get that sixer. But the point is New York always bragging that they serve till 4 a.m. But I don't know what time they open up again. And if it's JFK, it ain't opening up until noon. And I find that an outrage.
How dare they?
I am outraged. Do you hear me? All right.
It really almost doesn't matter because it's all the time zone issues, whatever.
Here's the whole thing about airports. Airports should be international waters. They really should be. They just, because you've been flying all night, you took the red eye, the time zones, wherever. Plus, in your culture, everything may be legal. Maybe you're coming from a place where prostitution and gambling. Here's the whole thing. There should be prostitution, gambling, and boozing at airports. There really should be. It should all just be like the Vegas airport. McCarran. All right. Drew is searching. If someone has an answer to this, although, again, I have almost zero confidence in our listeners.
I'm also looking for somebody to tell me about Viagra as a club drug. It's something I'm looking for information about.
Well, you take it so you can get a boner.
I understand that, but
right.
Why? With club drug?
Maybe you're slipping it into someone's drink?
Maybe, yeah, but then the same. Yeah.
Laura?
Yeah.
All right, so now, Laura, who read my books...
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's right. Laura from Minnesota.
I'm not fat, Adam.
I'll figure that out. How much do you weigh?
I weigh 132. I went to the neurologist on Friday, so.
Mm-hmm. Why are we at a neurologist?
I have a seizure disorder.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, I'm going to hell.
Yes, you are. Good times.
Sorry, baby doll.
That's all right.
All right, so you met somebody over the internet.
Yeah, like we were just kind of online friends, and he kind of disappeared.
They live in California.
Yeah.
Hey, in Minnesota, what time do the bars close?
I think 1 a.m.
1 a.m.? And what time can we start boozing again?
I want to say like 7.
Yeah, smart. Hey, Drew.
Hmm.
Why don't you go to some website for some like convenience store that's open 24 hours in New York, and they'll tell you when they stop selling and start selling booze, and
really,
that's the hour.
Stores have regulations like that? I thought serving was different than carrying out.
Didn't I just tell you the whole 7-Eleven thing?
No.
All right. I'm saying I have to stand out in front of the 7-Eleven for 4 hours until they... Anderson, am I going insane here?
You did say
obviously
that, yes.
You don't listen. No, listen. Here's how you figure it out. Go to the 7-Eleven in your town. They stop selling six packs at a certain time, and they start selling them at a certain time. Those are the times.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
I didn't realize that.
It's not at bars and stuff. It's got nothing to do with serving, or bars may not open until later in the afternoon. Where go to a place that's open 24 hours. They'll let you know when you can buy. Yes, Drew.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry you had to endure that, Laura. How dare you not listen to me? How dare you tune out, Drew?
At least I was on a task on your behalf here.
That's true.
Through the internet.
That's true.
Trying to do two things for you at the same time.
All right. So, Laura.
Yeah.
You met a guy on the internet.
No, I never met him. We talked a lot, and we seemed like really into each other. And
I didn't mean meet in person.
Yeah,
I just meant you came together on the internet.
Exactly.
He lives in California. You're out in Minnesota. How long did you have this relationship over the internet?
He emailed me around Christmas of 2002, so we talked for about a year and a half.
Year and a half.
Yeah.
And what did he tell you about himself?
I don't know. My mom and my sister started to not believe a lot of the things that he was saying, so they hired a private investigator.
Oh my gosh.
Couldn't really find anything like he claimed.
But why did you get so into it with this guy? Why just end it? You had a weird feeling? Just forget it.
Well,
it's not a real relationship anyway.
Yeah, my question is, though, it's he got a girlfriend recently, and I was kind of hurt because obviously I was into him, and I felt like he kind of...
Well, you never met him.
Yeah, I know. But it's I felt like he owed it to me to come and see me or let me go out and see him, and it's
listen,
I want to
it's not a relationship.
Him.
This is not... This could be a female, for all you know.
It's like the Easter Bunny owes you.
Yeah, this is a fantasy. Who knows who this person is or what they're about. You can't rely on a relationship on the web.
Let me say this to everyone. And Drew, stop focusing for one second.
God, I thought I had it here. I've got a paper called Responsible Alcohol Sales.
Anderson's got it. You should kill yourself, Drew.
What do you got, Anderson?
What do you got? Anderson?
I don't have a mic, apparently. Hold on. 8 a.m. That can start selling again.
8 a.m., you can start selling booze again in New York.
What time do they stop?
Sunday's at 7. I mean, Sunday's at noon.
It was a Sunday when you were there.
No, I just looked it up on the web.
Yeah, but Adam was there on a Sunday, right?
Yeah, but I've been there on weekdays, too.
Also noon.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, Anderson.
Markets aren't allowed to sell it till noon any day.
Markets aren't allowed to sell it till noon anyway?
Any day of the week.
Any day of the week.
24-hour marts have to stop at 3 a.m. and they can't
until
noon. Google.
And Drew's been on Google for 45 minutes. All right,
I'm still intense. I'm going to find it myself.
Hey, doctor.
Yeah.
Hey, doctor.
Yeah.
Hey, doctor.
Yeah. Yes.
Come on over.
I will.
You were just beat out. The guy of he's got a tat of
come on
film.
He's
here,
got
type
film
this in,
tattooed on his arm.
Type this in: bars, New York, open, close hours law.
Thank you, Anderson. You're a genius.
That's not a lot.
It's going to waste, but you're a genius. All right, hey Laura.
Yeah.
All right, so let me say this, and Drew, over here, buddy.
Yeah.
Here's the thing: people on the internet, guys on the internet, there's they fall into two categories. One is just total loser who's got nothing going and can't meet chicks and has no confidence and is a mess. The other sort of predator.
Yeah.
The other sort of...
Well, and this trickster predator.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Serial humper.
Yeah.
I mean, there's guys who are using the internet because if you saw them in real life, you'd never say yes to a date on them, and they're a bag of nerves.
Right.
And then nothing's going to work with them in person, eye to eye. And then there's the guy who uses it like a dragnet.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I don't have to just pull up one fish at a time. I'll just cast my net out and just get a whole bunch of stuff going on.
Yeah, he's absolutely right, Laura.
And those are the two guys.
Yeah.
If you're lucky, you find the guy who can't look you in the eye.
Yeah, that's the best. But Laura, I mean, for years with this guy, and she has weird feelings about him. He's lying to her and distorting things. Yeah.
Laura, what's going on? Just find yourself a guy in the neighborhood, would you please?
It's hard, though. Like, I don't know. I don't really know where to be looking, so.
Well, look. In reality.
Do you have a job?
Yeah.
Will you do something with nursing or kids or something?
No, I hate kids.
Good.
A waitress.
Waitress.
You must meet people.
They're not guys hitting on you at work. First off, every guy who manages a restaurant tries to F everybody who works there.
Strange enough, he's the same guy on the web that's sending out his
bags. That's right. And then when I say everyone, I'm talking about the smart and final guy who drops off the stuff, the S.E. Rykoff guy. I'm talking about the guy who cleans the flues. I'm talking about the janitor. Effing everybody. Yeah. Everyone who comes through that door, they try to F. Yeah. Kids, animals, doesn't matter.
No.
How come people at work aren't trying to get in your pants?
I don't know.
Now, what kind of restaurant do you work at?
It's like it's a pancake house. You guys actually have them out in California, so.
Yeah, IHOP.
No, it's the original pancake house. You guys have one in Anaheim.
Okay, well, I'm gonna get out there after the show.
Mm-hmm. It's delicious and nutritious.
Yeah. Oh, it's nothing better for you than melted imitation butter. With blueberry sauce.
Does it have the giant wheel o' syrup?
That's what I love. I love that wheel. I love spinning that wheel. Let fate decide what I'm going to put on top of my flapjacks. Spin that wheel of syrup. Oh, that is great. I got to get stoned and get into one of those places.
Laura, just get involved in reality. Don't go out in the fantasy world there. Get focused on what is in your actual life, life.
There ain't nothing better than when the syrup bleeds onto the sausage.
That's good, yeah.
Yeah, and it starts dripping onto the sausage. Mm-hmm. This big stack of those Johnnies. Nothing better than that.
Johnnies.
I forget about pancakes. Pancakes are good.
Yeah. My kids eat pancakes a lot.
And let me tell you something. What you can do at home with pancakes is good, but it's different, and it ain't that. It's not what you get at the pancake houses.
Yeah.
There's something about it. I can't say that it's better or worse. It's just different. It's not as good. There's something about the uniformity of the size. They don't get the air bubbles in them. They're a little flatter, a little more uniform. They're a little thinner. There's just something about them. Let the pros handle the flapjacks is what I'm saying.
You need big, super hot, wide grill, too, with the exactly measured.
I like, you know what I like doing? I like changing gears midstream, too, when it comes to the syrup. You know, I start off with some of that maple, and then all of a sudden,
blueberry.
Put a little of that boysenberry on there. Let it mix in. Drip down the side. A little butter going. Yeah, that's nice. Man, I got to get some of that. Yeah. All right.
All right, let's stop and go eat.
Right, let's go eat. Let's get some. Some pancakes. All right, let's talk about so wait a minute. We figured out in New York that stores can't sell booze any day of the week before 12 noon and after 3 a. And so let me say this because our stores only 2 a to 6 a can't sell booze. So I think we beat you by quite a few hours there in New York. Stop bragging. And then you can start serving at places, except for Sunday, at 8 a.m., I think Anderson said. And like all I'm saying is anyone from JFK, please open that bar. Like I said, people are coming in from Singapore. They're 2 days behind. They've been on a plane for 12 hours. Give them some booze.
And I'll tell you what, waiting until noon on Sunday makes sure everyone's in those churches. Doesn't it? The synagogues? The churches, the temples.
I'm telling you, airport, international waters. No, look, there's 1,000 different time zones coming into your place. You can't count on one. You have no time zone. Everything's open. Should be open all the time. Thank you. All right, where are we going here?
Going to calls.
Elizabeth.
Yeah.
That's my girl. Elizabeth?
Oh, yeah.
You're 23?
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
I'm just wondering, basically, if there is, like, a disorder or disease or something that can stop a penis from growing any further, because my boyfriend's penis is really the size of, like, a child's.
Mm-hmm. Does he have normal hair and that sort of thing?
Yeah, but it's... Mm-hmm. Seriously, like, I mean, even, like, the girth of it is, like, really mm-hmm. small.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's just bad times.
Is he listening?
I don't know. I hope
he was until she started, then he jumped
off the building.
Took the plunge, yeah.
Pretty much. And I feel like kind of weird, like,
yeah,
because I'm wondering if there's something wrong, and obviously I don't want to say anything about it.
Yeah. Ooh. Now, what do you say? Do you say, like, pinky finger size or
I'm gonna
F
say,
finger?
Like, seriously, like, it's probably the growth of, like, a Crayola marker.
Ooh. And I think those are crayons, by the way.
Like, a Crayola marker and, like, maybe a little shorter than a marker.
Just to make sure we're on the
same. You mean a Crayola felt pen or a crayon?
Like a Crayola felt pen, the fatter kind of pens.
The pen, a little fatter pen.
Oh, really?
It was like a middle finger.
It did mean marker.
Middle finger, probably.
Yeah.
All right, so is that...
index
finger,
yeah.
I'm going, how about this? Highlighter pen? One of those round highlighter pens?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I don't have kids. I don't even know Crayola made markers.
Yeah, maybe we're pushing it with a highlighter.
Oh, we're pushing it with a highlighter.
Yeah.
Well, let's give him the benefit of the doubt.
We'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
All right.
Is there something that can cause that?
What's the length, by the way? We got a length?
I don't even know. It's not as long as a highlighter.
Highlighter.
Highlighter's good for
sure. I'd be happy with a highlighter.
Highlighter's about 5. We're at 5, right?
No, highlighter is more in the 6 range.
Yeah.
Go find a highlighter, Engineer Chris. Hurry. Yeah, that's more in the 6.
All right,
listen,
you keep asking the same question, and I will answer that question, and that is, I'm not aware of anything that can singularly stop the growth of the penis. Here's the highlighter here.
Uh-huh.
Without also interrupting the other characteristics, secondary sexual characteristics like hair growth and stature and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. If he is of normal height, normal sort of development, normal hair distribution, it's really unlikely that he has a medical problem causing this. It's just a bad hand.
Yeah, highlighter's about 5 1/8.
Yeah, it's not close to that. It's probably like 4.
So we're talking about like, yeah.
You got to point it at me, Drew?
Just show.
I'm not going to point it at my mouth, if that's what you want.
Neither am I.
Oh. Well, wait a second now, doll. How long you two been together?
Well, we went out for a matter of months, and then we broke up. Kind of because of that.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
did you break up with him, or did you cause a problem to break up, or what happened?
I caused the problem to break up, and we broke up, and...
What'd you do?
Just...
Cheated.
Excuse me?
Cheated? Did you cheat on him?
No, but never. I just kind of just talked a lot of crap.
About his penis, or just other things?
No, I would never say anything about that.
I like this guy, by the way, I'd like to hire this guy to go to the gym with me.
Why?
Forget the gym. Just go around with your life.
Just around, yeah. We disrobe. We're going to, Ken, we're hitting the showers. Over here, buddy. That's good. Dump a little ice water down your shorts. I know. Seems like I'm putting too fine a point on, but just do it, please. Hey, $8 an hour. Let's go. All right, you good? Hold on.
Loosen up.
Hold on, let me chub down. Let me chub up here. Let's see. Let me put the hair dryer down my pants, see if I can stretch things out just a little bit. All right, here we go. Ready? Off at the rope.
Oops.
It's heading to the shower.
Oh, gosh.
All right, now, I'm going to make idle conversation. You pretend like you're listening. Yeah.
So we're talking about in the middle finger, about really the length of the middle finger.
All right, too. Look.
What am I supposed to do? Like, and I don't want to...
Well, you know, it really brings... Wait. Before you talk about this, it brings up an interesting topic that we never talk about because it's not something that sort of lends itself to discussion.
The penis?
No, the kind of biological realities of how men and women relate. You know what I mean? Why your friend Chris makes women dilate and why poor Elizabeth, poor boyfriend, can't sustain a relationship because of his natural endowments. We never factor that in.
I'm totally in love with him. Like, I don't care, but I'm thinking, like, in real, like, realistically, like, could I marry him and be happy for the
rest? I understand. I understand. But the fact is, we never discuss this. We also never discuss, we're going to give people videotapes that tell them how to break out of their biological reality, which to some extent you can, but we really never discuss that basic animal.
What do you mean we're going to give them?
Well, I mean, you can change, you can lose some weight and you can exercise, you can change your shape a little bit and this sort of thing. You can,
yeah, but that can be, you can't really fit.
But the fact is, there are certain biological elements that are just animal in us as humans, and we don't discuss it ever.
Well, let's say this, Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. Does he give you oral sex?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, but hold on. Quiet down.
Right.
And he is great at that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here's the thing. He's got a small dork, but he acts like it. You know what I mean? I like that. He's not pompous.
Right. He doesn't defend against
it. He compensates with good oral.
Right.
But look, this is It's like I would say break up with him.
She already broke up with him.
Well, then they got back together, I think.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
I thought they got back together.
So you're back together again?
We're like kind of talking again.
Thinking about it.
It's good enough. Break up. Because here's the reality. Okay, here's reality. Let me say this. Let's say you're dating somebody.
Yeah.
And you meet a girl, you like her. She has a kid. The kid has special needs. It's a special needs kid. This is Down syndrome or something. Yeah, yeah. Look, some guys are up to that challenge.
Yeah, yeah.
Other guys aren't. If you're not up to it, no, you're not up to it.
Yeah.
And just walk away. Get out of there. She's not up to this. There's some women, by the way, who would like a small penis.
Yeah,
prefer
they're less threatened by it.
And in a way, because a penis becomes a weapon and the guy's got a cap gun,
right.
Fine. They don't have to worry about a double-barreled shotgun.
That's right.
Okay.
But what about that biological piece? Can we speak to that? It's never really discussed.
A lot of women would be happy if this guy just going double, going gangbusters on the oral.
But again,
not for Elizabeth. And if it's not for you, then you got to walk away.
Because
I don't think that component's going to change in you that much.
I agree. But isn't that's something that whatever it is, it's about Elizabeth, that she needs that biological piece?
Yeah, but what's your point?
But we kind of never, it's nothing that's ever articulated well. The reason it's not maybe
discussed as much as it should be is for Elizabeth, it is an issue, but for Marcia on line three, she's 13.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer. I'll say Marcia is 13 on line three. It may not become later on when she comes home. No, Jennifer, who's on line two over here, is 23. It might not be an issue.
Yeah.
And therefore, that's not a real biological mandate, is it?
If it's,
and this one has an issue and this one doesn't. Guys, we have biological mandates. And women have a handful of them, too, but I don't think the penis size is a great example of it.
All right. I'll agree with that.
All right.
Take a break.
All right. Ooh, between this and Anderson whooping up on you on the internet, this got to be a rough night for you, Drew.
No, we're going to talk. I want to talk some more about this biological thing because, again, it's not.
All right, ironically, you can do it while looking at my penis.
Good fun.
Checking out my half a highlighter while I'm.
Good times.
Yeah. See if I can brew up a little asparagus for you. That's my specialty. All right, we'll take ourselves a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191-ER. All right, buddy. Let's get back to the phones.
Yeah, I'll take some calls, Adam.
Oh.
I know that excites you. We'll let you talk about red lights in a few minutes.
I'm tapped out.
Yeah.
I'm tired.
I'll believe that.
Dave?
Yeah.
You're 25?
Yeah.
You still wet the bed?
Yeah.
How consistently?
Like once every like 6 months.
And anything about, I mean, you're using alcohol those nights?
No, totally sober. It's just like I've been drinking a lot of water for a diet lately. And right before I go to bed, I sit down and I go to the bathroom and just make sure like it's all out.
Sit down and go to the bathroom.
Middle of the night, I wake up and, you know, I'm just like laying in it.
Yeah.
And
sit down to go to the bathroom, huh?
Yeah.
Why?
So I can like kind of like squeeze it all out to make sure it's out of my system.
Huh?
You do more squeezing when you're sitting down than you.
I do preferably not.
I stand and punch myself in the gut, try to wring myself
bend over multiple times.
Yeah,
Dave, how about like cutting down on the fluid consumption after 6 p.m.?
Hold on, have we spoken to you before, Dave?
No.
Once every 6 months, what are you gonna do? It's right on the cusp of a problem.
Just cut your fluids off at 6 o'clock.
Well, but again, you're altering your life for something that happens once every 180 days.
Yeah, but it depends when it happens kind of thing.
Well, it depends where you are.
Yeah.
I mean, look, if you're at home and you can kind of deal with it. Also, guys don't ever change their sheets. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A guy doesn't think to pull a sheet off and change it. I didn't even know. I thought you just threw it away with the mattress. At a certain point, you know what I mean?
Well, eventually they both dissolved.
Yeah, this is actually forces you to
change
to do the
months.
Sheets about every 6.
This
is probably God getting you to do it, Dave.
Yeah.
Do you live with anybody?
No, I still live with my parents.
Oh, really?
Chris.
Yeah, but I'm afraid to, like, move out or be, like, intimate with a girl, because what happens, like, you know, if I'm over her house and this happens, that's what my
fear is. No way. Nah, that's bogus now.
Yeah. Sorry, we don't believe you now.
Listen, guys can't be stopped from doing stuff like being intimate with a girl. You can't force a guy to stop that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there
you go. Calling you a liar, Dave.
I'm sorry, it's true, though.
It's a lie. You're lying. This is a bold-faced lie.
I'm serious.
All right. Well, why? What do you mean you're scared to be intimate with a girl?
Because I'm afraid to, like, lay with one. Because what happens if I spend the night and this happens?
You don't spend the night. You do it twice a year.
Yeah, or then go home and don't spend the night.
You pansy!
Yeah.
See, we've stumped
Dave.
Yeah.
Dave, how about you move out? Why, by the way, you can't live alone?
Oh, I can. I'm just trying to save
money. We just black out here.
You can't move out? You can't live alone?
No, I can. I'm just trying to save money.
Okay. All right, so does your mom know you wet the bed?
No one does.
All right. But once every 6 months, no more, not more often than that.
No, that's it, tops.
Tops?
Yeah.
All right, well, listen, get some therapy. And don't worry about wetting the bed.
Yeah, if you're using that as a reason not to have a relationship, that is a pretty heavy indictment. In other words, there are other reasons you're not having a relationship. Because you can't force guys not to have relationships. They could be, think of all the weird smells and things that guys do. They don't worry. Are you kidding?
And let me explain something about saving money. Hold on, Chris. Take your headphones off. Put your fingers in your ears, please. Just take the headphones off. Chris, 27, still living at home. Please take the headphones off. This is going to get horribly uncomfortable.
Fingers in the ears.
Fingers.
In the ear.
In the ears. Both of them.
Fingers.
Both fingers.
Fingers.
In the ears. Put them in. Put them in. I won't listen. You can't.
Then put your hands over yours. Put your hands.
Can you put your hands over yours?
There you go.
All right. Stay there. All right. Okay. Hold on. Hey, Chris. Oh, he heard that. All right.
It's all right. I'm used to it. Whatever.
All right. Listen, here's the point. Yeah, you can save money living at home until you're in your 50s. You can save money not driving a car. Hey, get a donkey. Save yourself some money. You can save some money, eating top ramen and never going out to eat. You can save some money doing just about anything. When you're 25, time to move out.
Well, when it starts eroding into your
hold on, living not 27, 25.
27's okay.
Oh, no, that's
you stay.
Fine.
Yeah, you
stay at 27, yeah. 25.
You made it over the hump.
25, 26, 25. You got to move out. 28, you got to move out. 27,
you stay.
That's the year you stay.
Good call.
Yeah. So that's my point. And look, you're not getting on with your life. You're not having a relationship. But let me just tell everyone this who's wet in the bed. I used to wet the bed. Here's what you do. You wake yourself up. They got a million devices. They got things that give you a shock. They got adult diapers. They got liners. They got bells. They got stuff you spread out on your mattress. And when it starts feeling moisture, it sets an alarm off. It's all unnecessary. Here's what you do. It's the easiest thing in the world. You get yourself a timer, a digital timer. They have it in every single Five and Dime, every single Thrifties or Save-Ons
or just
Quigley's or whatever
clock
your
radio,
store is.
Whatever.
You don't even need it. The clock radio is a pain in the ass.
All right, yeah.
Here's what you do. Leave the clock radio alone. Get yourself a little digital timer. I haven't talked about this in a while. I love these digital timers.
Yeah.
They're for kitchens. They take a little... They take a double-A battery is what they take, and they're digital. Bing, bing, bing. You press in the hour. You press in the minutes.
Start.
And that's it. And here's the deal. You go to bed at 2 a.m., you go to bed at 10, it doesn't matter when you go to bed. Set it for 3 hours. Dink, 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 hit it. It'll go off in 3 hours. 3 hours from when you go to bed. Not 1:30 in the morning, not just whatever. Whenever you go to bed, set it for 3 hours. Have it go off. When it goes off, get up and take a leak.
That's it.
If it goes off and you're sitting in a puddle, set it for 2.5 hours the next night and see if you can catch yourself.
Yep.
That thing goes off at that thing goes off. You get up, you take a leak, you hit it, you ain't wet in the bed. That's how it works.
Yeah.
That's easy.
Yeah.
You're done.
That's a great... Listen, remember I brought you an article in that show there's nothing superior to that?
Oh, there isn't? I've been yelling about this for years.
Be my stuff,
and everyone else is talking about deep-rooted psychological problems. And
of course, the part of the whole syndrome. But yeah, except for that, there's a good solution.
Thank you. You just get up and take a leak. And then guess what? You're not going to wet your bed. Here's how I figured it out. I used to wet my bed. My grandpa used to wake me up. Then he used to whiz in a bucket. It's good times. I'd go to bed at 8 o'clock at night. I was 27 actually at the time, Chris. Still living with my grandparents. I go to bed at 9 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. He'd go in and watch Johnny Carson, and 12:30, he'd be heading to go to bed. And he'd wake me up, take a whiz in this bucket. It was like 3 hours after I went to bed. I'd whiz in the bucket. Magically, I wouldn't wet to bed.
Magic.
Easy. All right, Drew. Stop looking for stuff.
Wow.
All right, let's talk to Jenny, who's
hi
24. It was always a great task to empty the whiz bucket the following day. Nice. 24. By the way, Drew, you're curious why I whizzed in a bucket and didn't actually go into a bathroom?
Well, I knew it was a Corolla household.
Right.
And given that you crapped into a popcorn tin, I figured whizzing in a bucket was a pretty standard fare there.
Right.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Probably a good bet.
There was one bathroom. It was as big as a porta potty. And you had to walk through my grandparents' bedroom to get to that. If you wanted to get to the bathroom, you had to actually go through their bedroom. So,
and your grandma would not have that.
I would. I don't think I would have wanted to have that myself.
But I know your grandma is too. She wouldn't hear that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, who are we, the Rockefellers with two commodes? Please, give
bucket.
Me a break.
Bucket and hit the popcorn
bucket.
Tin.
Yeah. Jenny?
Hey.
24?
Yes, I am.
What's up? Hold on 1 second. I'm not done complaining about my family. Here's we were sitting around Kimmel the other day, and someone once in a while, everyone's approximately the same age, somewhere between like 30 and Drew's talking to Mike.
There is.
Every guy, every sitting around the tables, average age 30, 36, 37, are all about the same age. So the when toys come up, we all remember the toys, and it's a group that went to college, had a few things, parents loved them for the most part, and they start talking about electric football or magic eight balls or Light Bright came up. Oh, mm-hmm. Remember those Light Brights? You plug the lights in, you make the clown face with the light and the thing, and they'd sing the song and everything, and everyone was talking about it. Yeah, I remember my Light Bright, and then someone said, Adam, do you have one? And I just said to the table, look, this comes up a lot, whether it be electric football, Light Bright, whatever it is.
Anything.
The toys come up a lot, yeah. Not yo-yos, but yes. I said, look, here's how you know. If it plugged in, I didn't have it.
Oh, really?
That was the Mason-Dixon line. That's where we cut off.
Things like yo-yos and those sort of things you would get, and the stick on a...
Yeah, you get that cup with the stick in it.
Yeah.
Things that orphaned Russian kids probably would have.
They wouldn't give you sports. You wouldn't have got a basketball or football,
If it would plug in, the Corollas would not buy it.
Yeah.
That's how you knew. Toys-wise.
It seems like they also had to be some sort of an Egyptian ancient toy form.
Yeah.
Right? Like something new with a Nike on it. No.
No.
Rockefellers.
No. Yeah. There's no basketball hoops or anything like that. Right. No. Here's the thing. Here were the rules. Nothing that plugged in and nothing that weighed more than 2 pounds.
Okay.
That was the thing. Like basketball hoops and, pool tables and things like that. No. That exceeded the weight limitation. It had to be, you had to be able to carry it with one hand. And it couldn't have a plug on it. Couldn't have a cord on it. Those were unspoken. But as I started to think about it, yeah.
Clear criteria.
That was it. Pretty clear. Could not plug in. All right, let's...
Jenny.
Oh, we're talking to Jenny? Is she up here? Jenny, 24?
Yes, that's me.
What's up?
Okay, so I'm dating a guy who just got out of a divorce a little over... he just got divorced a little over...
You know what I was saying, Drew?
Hold on,
Jenny. You know when you said yo-yo, you instinctively pick the worst things when someone makes a point. Do you realize that?
No,
you don't even know what you don't even know that you do it. It's a gift. It's a weird gift.
It's really good.
It's a weird gift.
Clairvoyant.
But it's like a gift.
But it's trying to anticipate where you're going.
I know.
I thought you'd include all toys, but no.
I know, but it's a gift. It's uncanny.
Uncanny.
In a bad way.
But uncanny.
Like somebody always picks a losing horse.
Yeah, so you know,
you got to be almost. You have to be as good to pick a losing horse every time as you do to pick a winning horse every time.
Right. And plus, everyone knows who to bet against.
Right. Yeah, I don't have that luxury here on the radio, but I know what you're saying. It is amazing. Yes,
thank you.
Go ahead, Jenny.
Okay. Hi.
I'm sorry. 24. What's up?
You're dating the guy that just got out of a marriage a little over a year ago, mm-hmm. and I've heard Drew say before. The guys are not ready for relationships, even when they say that they are. So when they say that they're not in a relationship, then they're really not ready.
Hold on a second. Whoa, hold on. I was talking about guys in their 20s, and we were talking about marriage. What I said was, when guys say they're not ready for marriage, they mean it. Not ready.
Light, bright, making things with light. Out of sight, making things with light, bright. Hey, there's no, let me tell you some of the Corollas. They had no problem with me hearing the commercials for the toys. Oh, that was fine.
You're so traumatized. It had been etched in your memory bank.
I remember staring intently at it. Wow, that's as close as you're ever going to get to one. It's fantastic.
It's like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Look at that. Look at that toy. Yeah. Wow. I gotta watch this commercial again.
Tonight.
I know.
Oh, that's true.
I know. All right.
So,
sorry.
Jenny, he was divorced a year ago, right?
Yeah, a little over a year.
How long had the relationship been going bad?
I don't know how long it's been going bad. I think maybe a year before they broke it off. She cheated on him and left him really abruptly, from what I understand.
Okay, yeah. And now he's 39.
Cheating could have been payback cheating, by the way.
Oh, yeah, and I wonder if, he wasn't around enough or didn't show enough attention.
Let me just tell you something. I would say 75% of the time, if a guy says, wife cheated on me.
I have no idea why, kind of thing.
It's payback cheating.
Yeah, the other 25% is chaos cheating. There's only two types for women, really.
There's two types of cheating. Yeah, she's alcoholic, abuse survivor,
right.
Chaos cheating.
Yes.
And then there's payback cheating.
And payback
And then there's sort of kind of combinations of both.
Yeah, but payback has a couple versions of it. One is you're not around enough.
You're not paying any attention
right.
to me.
The other is you cheated.
You banged
so
my friend.
Cheat. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. By the way, here's the thing. When you hear someone say, my wife cheated on me, you should hear it the same way the guy who's perpetually getting into trouble says, I'm sitting at a bar, I'm minding my own business, guy comes up and punches me in the face.
Right.
Realize
that never happens.
He didn't present it like that to me, though. Like, he was like, really what it came down to is that we had really different upbringings, and she had a really crazy kind of...
All right, so this is the chaos
that's
cheating.
That's chaos.
Yeah, so he's a codependent.
All right, that's chaos cheating.
All right, that's fine.
All right, so he's...
And he's been out a year. He should be having a relationship by now. About 6 months, a year out, they should be
but
ready to go.
But he's saying he's not ready for a full-timer?
Yeah, that's what he's saying, but at the same time, he's saying, you're so extraordinary, you're very amazing... But I
some of it
you,
may
I'm
be
not ready for a relationship.
It depends this is actually a very complex issue.
Yes.
Literally, you may not be crazy enough. He could be one of those guys that needs a project, needs to fix somebody all the time.
Yeah.
If he can really admire you as a person and appreciate you and see all your qualities and value them and then not have a relationship after a year out of a divorce, either he was severely injured by the divorce and traumatized by it, or he needs projects to work on or to feel intimate.
Maybe
with
his parents can get him a light bright. That's why I'm traumatized. Chris, did you have a light bright?
He actually went through depression.
Don't use it, huh?
After depression, and he had to get on some medication.
Why do you like him so much?
The first night we met, we talked religion and politics in a bar for 2 hours and the meaning
right.
of human
All right. Well, listen, one of the reasons you may be so into him is because of his sort of laissez-faire
lack
approach to your relationship.
Yeah.
You think so?
I don't know. I really All right.
Also, not a lot of available older guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Who are actually available. And she may have a thing about older guys.
Light, bright, making things with how to set.
Only older guys would know that song. See?
Yeah. All right. See if he knows the light, bright song.
Yeah.
No. Okay. Here's the thing. He may say he's not ready for a relationship. Fine. You don't have to talk him into it.
Yeah.
This is a coin toss. It's kind of hard to tell.
Yeah.
Why don't you let his actions speak louder than words?
Yeah, if instead, he really can't come in. Yeah.
Instead of having a sit down with him, see how he performs over the next 6 months.
Ooh,
is he attentive?
6 months? Does she want to put 6 months into this?
Why not?
3 months. Four months.
They've been going out for a little while, haven't they?
Mm-hmm.
How long have you been...
We've only been dating for a month. It's not
only a month.
All right.
I'll tell you what.
Three more months.
Don't hound him for a committed relationship. See how he operates. See how he responds.
Hmm.
Pull it in. Reel it in just a little bit. You start coming after him, he's going to feel pester and he's just going to start moving away.
Yes.
Leave him alone a little bit. See what he does.
Yeah.
I don't want to say play hard to get, but...
That's pretty much your only move, really.
Play the game a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. See if you can jumpstart him a little bit.
It's not so much to reel him in, but just to see how he responds, you really know what his intentions are. You know,
right.
If he sort of lets it go, then Right. That's your answer.
Right, right. All right. Back off just a little bit and see what he does.
Yeah.
We'll take a little break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. All right, here we go. Get on them phones.
See, no calls about Viagra as a club drug. Nobody's going to help.
What do you want to know? What do you want to know? I'll
just
answer
people
your
are actually
questions.
Using it that way.
They do. Got,
how often is it for a
every
frequent
night.
Thing? All right. And why? I mean, it's just to keep an erection till
well,
it's
say,
out for
you
a while.
You say it's a club drug, but isn't
recreational
it,
drug?
It's after the club.
Yeah, yeah.
It's well. Here's okay. Let me give you a couple. Let me give you a couple scenarios. I got the whiskey dork going.
Right.
You know what I mean? I've been drinking all night. I'm axing. Things aren't working so good down there. Mm-hmm. I'm going to work that. So after a long night of dancing and boozing and maybe doing a little blow, a little axe, I got myself something that's going to make things right downstairs.
Good.
So that's one of them. The other thing is we're taking it to the next level.
Is it just some sort of arousal thing to see how far I can take...
Well,
performance, sex.
You know, if you think about everything that's good, everyone's looking to make. Here's the thing: everyone is making to look good, making good stuff even better.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, most guys—I'm not gonna say most guys, but a lot of guys who buy a Ferrari, they put better rims on it.
Yeah.
They put a better stereo system in it. There's a whole sack. That will take a Ferrari, that will take a Bentley, that will take a Jag, that will take the most beautiful cars in the world, and then dump $50,000, $100,000 into them almost immediately.
Weird.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if it's weird. It's almost, it's sort of the American way.
Ugh.
But it's, now I got a Ferrari, but I got 22-inch rims on it, a stereo that cranks out 35,000 amps or whatever the hell they're doing, and ohms or BT whatevers, and decibels, and I got a Ferrari that's better than anyone else's Ferrari. That's it. Yeah. Now I got to find a Ferrari to hump.
Do women use Viagra, you think?
I don't think so.
Just the man. Yeah.
I don't think they need. Yeah. They're either into the guy or they're not.
Yeah, yeah.
Or they're into the guy's Ferrari or whatever, but they're not. But everyone's looking to ratchet up good stuff. This is what Cribs is about.
But for, you know, women complain about guys going too long without orgasming. It's like not just because that's the thing that the music talks about is going all night. A lot of women are not into that at all.
It doesn't mean you're going all night. I think it just means better boner. Higher quality of boner.
No.
Well, it means you can go back for a second helping,
yes,
too.
Yes.
You just got better. You got a better boner.
Right.
I mean, look, it's 3:30 in the morning. You've been drinking
and dancing
all night. You're not going to be at peak form down there.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
All right. Where are we going here, Drew?
Building better boners.
Yeah.
12 ways.
Jennifer?
Yes.
You're 21?
Yes.
What's up?
Okay, I'm in the process of a divorce. My fiancé is pushing me to get married right after my divorce is final.
How do you already have a fiancé before you got divorced?
It's kind of a long story. My fiancé was my master of honor at my wedding. He's been my best friend since I was 15.
Yeah, there's a reason he's been your best friend. He's been waiting for his moment. And the second your husband sort of pulled back, he pounced like some sort of beast of prey.
It's a master of honor. You have a maid of honor? It's like a dude maid of honor?
Yeah, well, I had a master of honor because I didn't have any female friends.
Mm. Not a good sign.
Let me tell you something. I don't care. I won't put that dress on for nothing. You know what I'm saying?
I don't don any woman. But you do it in private plenty enough. I mean,
yeah, I'm just saying that is a faggoty role right there. Master of honor. Yeesh. Oh,
well,
man.
My maid of honor flaked on me, so he was kind of like a last resort, but he's been my best friend for so long that it just kind of worked out well.
All right. I don't trust you, by the way, that you don't have any female friends.
It's not a good sign.
It really isn't. You can laugh, but any chick who gets married doesn't know a chick good enough to make her maid of honor. That's bad times right there.
You think so?
Yes, absolutely.
Maybe that's where all my problems result to. I don't know.
No, I mean, your mom must have been a piece of work and makes you distrustful of women and speaks a lot about, you know, you're a woman, so it must impact on you feel about yourself.
Yeah.
There you go.
I don't trust that. So this guy, is this guy nerdy or what's
no,
he?
No, he's not at all. He's always told me ever since we were little that we were meant to be together and we were going to be together no matter what.
Well, not nerdy.
I'm sorry?
Not a nerdy guy.
Has he had a lot of women himself?
He was a virgin until he was 18.
Hold on. Shocked. Shocked.
Shocking. Yes. Yes. Wait. Drew, scrape me up off the floor, would you please?
Adam, with the whole not at all nerdy, I immediately got, oh,
yeah.
Nerd.
No.
Not at all. No,
well,
not
he's
at
a
all.
Skater, but he's not. But
What's he do for a living?
He was in produce.
In produce. All right.
Yeah.
All right. So he's been into you since he met you.
Right.
Yes.
Why did you get married so early and divorce so quickly?
Honestly, I was totally infatuated with the idea of just having the wedding.
And oh my
just
God.
Being able to plan it out and have the reception, just having everything just glamorous. Right.
Why divorce so early?
He got into drugs, and I chose not to live that lifestyle. And
I just get that.
Any addict stuff with your parents? How's your mom doing?
No, my parents are complete straight edge. They're... my father passed away. My mother is a very strict Christian.
What did your father die from?
Congestive heart failure.
Mm-hmm. And how old?
He died 2 years ago.
How old was he?
He was almost 62.
62. So he had you when he was in his 40s. And to die at 60 in congestive heart failure is very rare. What's the deal?
Oh.
He's actually a vegetarian, so it's even more rare because of that. But they don't know why. It's kind of like he's like one of those medical mysteries because he's been a vegetarian.
Never had a history of alcohol or drug use himself?
Nope.
All right. Here's the deal, Jennifer. Too early for you. You got a bad track record. Too early. Too early for...
Look at the dad on marriage
21.
In your early 20s.
Well, what is he, 21, 22?
He's 21 also, but we haven't...
All right.
Forget it.
Come to relax.
Yeah.
You got one under your belt already.
Late 20s. Relax. Next one's going to come around late 20s.
Just tell him to relax. You're not going anywhere.
He'll be fine.
We'll be back. Well, that's the show, everybody. God bless you for tuning in.
And for the three callers we spoke to, thank you. And Adam, thank you for entertaining us tonight with your story.
Thanks.
Regaling us, in fact.
Thank you for listening with one ear. We'll take ourselves a little extended break. But don't you worry, we'll be back tomorrow night. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.